It has now been 3 weeks since Colorado's stay-at-home order was lifted and we moved into the less restrictive, safer-at-home phase. Today, we're going to learn more about how well Coloradans are following social distancing practices and what the models say about future cases of COVID-19 in our state. Dr. Jonathan Samet is our guest for this conversation. He's the dean of the Colorado School of Public Health. Dr. Samet, welcome to Colorado Edition.
Thank you. Happy to be here with you today.
Overall, how is the safer at home period going? What do we know about how Coloradans have been doing at social distancing since the order went into effect?
Well, I'm going to answer from several perspectives here. So the first is that it takes a while for us to learn what happens after we make a change in social distancing, going from safe at home to shelter in place at home to safer at home. It's about 2 weeks between becoming infected and being hospitalized. And hospitalization is one of the key indicators we are tracking. So we're right now on the cusp of getting a more certain understanding than has been possible about where we are. So we're watching very, very closely. The good news is that hospitalizations have continued to drop, as have deaths. But the next couple of weeks, we'll get a far better signal about what has happened consequent to April 27th.
And I know that scientists released some cell phone mobility data last week. Can you just briefly explain where that data comes from?
So this was our team and a group led by Jude Bayham at CSU and Jimmy Adams at CU Denver. They are using anonymized cell phone data that comes through to us from the governor's innovation response team. These kinds of data are being used by many different groups around the country, in fact, around the world, to try and understand population mobility. I think just for viewers who are appropriately concerned about privacy, confidentiality, these data have no identifiers. There's no way to know whose cell phone data are in these large data sets that are being received. The report that came out last week showed that time at home had peaked towards mid-April and then began to decline. We think some of that might be due to the fact that early April, if you remember, was pretty cold and miserable and snowy, and then warmed up, which may have gotten us out of our homes. And then perhaps anticipating the change in measures on the 27th, people became more mobile. So those data point towards a change. The important thing is how will that change translate into more contact for us with the virus?
Given what we know about current social distancing, when will the peak number of cases be? Has it already happened?
For now, we've experienced a peak, and that goes back several weeks ago. The goal now is to avoid having another peak. If we maintain a high level of social distance, we continue to sort of flatten the curve, an expression that's become well known to everyone. And, you know, the peak would be much lower than it would be without the social distancing that comes along in late August or September, depending on what happens.
We hear about a resurgence of cases in some other countries. Is there a projected timeline for a second wave here?
Well, yeah, sort of going back to my earlier comments, it depends on how much social distancing we maintain. So the more there is, the later the peak will be. So if you can imagine, if we just sort of went back to, quote, normal pre-COVID-19, we would probably potentially see a steep rise that might happen over the next few weeks. We maintain needed levels of social distancing, and we're trying to figure out exactly what needed is, then that peak comes much later, and it's, of course, much, much lower. There are some key points along here. For example, looking at schools opening in August, perhaps, what would be the implications of opening schools or of making other changes over time. So the models help, and then reality helps, and we have to really bring the two together. And then we have this mobility data, which is also very helpful.
Well, I think something that a lot of us are wondering now is how will all this And when will life be able to go back to normal? And do you have any insights that you can share with us?
Let's start with, what are the requirements for normal? And, you know, there's two possibilities, well, maybe three. So one would be that we have a vaccine that works. And, you know, that, of course, many different groups are working on developing a vaccine. I will say, and I think we have to acknowledge that once we have a vaccine, we still have to immunize the world, which is going to be no small task. Another would be that enough people become infected so that we have so-called herd immunity. That is, the virus can't propagate because it can't find enough susceptible people to sustain an epidemic. Right now, perhaps 2 or 3% of people in Colorado have been infected. If we need to get to 80%, we have a long way to go to get to herd immunity. So that would be digging in for the longer run while awaiting a vaccine. And then the question would be, how is the epidemic managed? How do we maintain enough social distancing while still having, you know, a solid economy to get to that 80% mark? The third possibility, and, you know, when, again, people are working on, would be to have effective therapies. There's many clinical trials going on of different agents. I will say, with the exception particularly of HIV, AIDS, and a few other viruses, we've not done very well in developing potent antiviral agents. So some have been tried. It seems like there's one, remdesivir, I think is the right name, that may moderate the severity of the infection, but we have a long way to go, I think, on the therapeutic side as well. So I'm afraid, hopefully we'll make a transition back to a pre-COVID-19 world, but I think it's going to be a longer transition than any of us want.
Dr. Jonathan Sammet is Dean of the Colorado School of Public Health. Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. No, thanks so much for the opportunity.